Are you ready for the golden age? The Quantum Galaxy Network presents Making Life Brighter on the Voice America Variety Channel, where we prepare you and the planet for the golden age. Making Life Brighter features experts in their field and visionaries sharing their unique keys for sustainability on Earth, including all cutting-edge healing modalities, consciousness training, and natural healing. Tune in every Thursday for valuable golden nuggets of universal harmony and coherency with body, mind, and spirit. Each week, Winifred introduces you to thought leaders, best-selling authors, influencers, and Grammy Award-winning musicians. Making Life Brighter is your source for inspiring us to live in cooperation and purpose as we prepare for the golden age and beyond. The Quantum Galaxy Network invites you to join Making Life Brighter as we prepare for the golden age. Making Life Brighter is your forum for healing, inspiring, and uplifting entertainment. Here is your host, Winifred Adams.
I hope you're all going jolly out there today. You're listening to Making Life Brighter Radio, and I'm your host, Winifred Adams. And we have special guests here for you today, a special return guest, I might add. But I'd like to just focus for 1 second on what we've been featuring here on Making Life Brighter since August. And we are now dedicated to preparing the planet for the golden age and beyond. What does that mean? That means sustainability. That means visionaries. That means cutting edge information that helps you come into your optimum health and helps you transition as we move into a new knowingness, a new golden light on the planet that's coming together and is weaving a better story, as our special guest here will feature today, as he always says. And I just can't say enough about him. I used to call him a Renaissance man. But in fact, I'm just going to land on the fact that this man is perhaps one of the most brilliant artists of our time, and he is a true visionary. You know him from Dallas. You know him from Star Treks. You know him from TV shows. You know him from General Hospital and One Life to Live. You know him. You know him. But do you know him? And the way to get to know this gentleman is by experiencing his work and his most insightful work that strikes me deep in my heart and continues to live there since I've experienced it in Malibu in person. And I encourage you, if you haven't yet, you know, we almost lost his artwork to the fires, the Woolsey fire a few years ago. And with his bare hands, he and his wife, Carla, saved it. And this is very important because this is perhaps one of the most artistic and important things on the planet today. So I encourage you to please visit the Olander, which is a philosophy that our guest created. And when you experience the hieroglyph of the human soul in person, the 3D effect will change your life. So please welcome back our very special visionary guest today, actor, author, and incredible artist, Lee J. McCloskey. Thank you, Lee, for being with us again today.
Thank you, Winifred. It's delightful to be back, and it's great to see you again.
It's nice to be here again with you. I mean, I've experienced it in person, and we've talked about it before. We were talking about the Tarot primarily, as well as the entire library story. But just a recap for those that may be coming into this new, Lee had a vision after 9/11, and he ended up painting his entire upstairs library from head to toe, including the furniture, and he painted it in 3D. But I'm going to let him share why he did that. So Lee, let's just touch on that for a minute before we dive deep.
I'm delighted you brought that up, because this last Sunday on 9/11, 2022, we celebrated the 21st anniversary of the beginning of the hieroglyph of the human soul. And what, of course, because we talked about the tarot before, we've talked about other things, what I found remarkable was that in my tarot, my world archetype is dated 9/11/1986. And it really foretells, even in the drawing itself with the twin towers, the twin pillars, this idea of the falling away of the old binary. And essentially, 9/11, 21 years ago, because I didn't start the hieroglyph of the human soul as a conceit. It was whispered in my ear. And when you hear something like this, you keep it quite private because it one sounds quite mad. I'm going to paint the hieroglyph of the human soul. But what started as a type of seed, which is very interesting, this goes back to my tarot work, my magus, which is often thought of as the magician, but that's really a sleight of hand. And I wanted to get really at this idea of the planter of seeds, meaning this question of, do you plant with life? Do you plant where you love? Because if you do, then the arcanum, the mystery of mysteries, which is yourself, will begin to open. If your ideas of fear, of hate, it will remain closed because you're not ready. And I think one of the great things that over and over again now, after 21 years and the 21st birthday, it's a coming of age. It's this realization that the 15 years beforehand of working on the archetypes, if we think of not the artist as who is the artist, but really this idea of creative consciousness itself, yes. Because it's a role I really didn't intend. I was an actor that found in the world that, you know, to a great degree, like with Dallas, you talked about Dallas, and that, you know, I was handed a great deal of success. But I also, there's an old expression, to those to whom much is given, much is expected. Mm-hmm. And I started to realize that oftentimes the pursuit of career leads to a type of ambition that one begins to identify with only whether one is working or how one is seen in the industry. And so I started 41 years ago when we moved here, discussion groups, because I wanted to, and I moved it away from politics and social into really back into the study of philosophy, theosophy. I had a theosophical discussion group here for 25 years. And to balance that, because that's primarily a look at Eastern esotericism, I brought in Jung, Western esotericism, alchemy, the study of the Hermetica, you know, Hermeticism. And I realized that part of my job was, in the long run, looking back, was almost like a librarian, collecting the books, collecting the peoples, collecting the conversations, because part of the great mystery of this 21-year journey of the hieroglyph now is that I was told, I was whispered, you know, and part of being an actor is you have to learn to listen to the inner conversation and be discerning, because in a way you're allowing yourself to be a bit mad, but you're also allowing yourself to be informed by deeper, in a sense, story, deeper narrative. And when this began, and I saw this with the 9/11 impulse here of like an opera, you know, falling from the scaffolding of Michelangelo on the ceiling, you know, the Pope and God and anger at the heavens, you know, and on 9/11, this the twin pillars really of money and God, you know, I have more than you do, collapses. And we're left on our, really on our knees. And that's why I fell here onto the linoleum floor in a ranch style house, meaning that it was falling back into human space, if we think about it. Because art doesn't want to tell us what to believe in, right? It wants to say, wait a minute, your narrative, if you put it together in a way you can live with, and this is my home, which is a really important element, right? It says, if you can find that way, then your life will not be about the accusations of the neighbor, but inviting those neighbors that might, like you, like a gardener, be interested in sharing ideas. And I cannot stress enough now with this coming of age, that maybe the key for us is that we turned 21, meaning that the world collapsed in a way we couldn't know. I mean, there was part of me that said, I can't do this anymore, like the false erection of this is getting somewhere collapsed. And for me, you know, in a way, it was to move back to where I love, you know, to community, to say, you know, and what I loved about the discussion groups, because I always found it fascinating. There were people in political differences, but it was never that conversation. So it never got down into an argument, but a shared greater idealism, which is one of the reasons why one of my great sort of master spirits here is Emerson. You know, the sense of how do we find common ground, you know, especially as Americans. And so this thing that I was doing, this hieroglyph of the human soul that emerged, it told me that the last flood was water, this flood is information, and that mine was to build an ark, sort of a Noah moment.
Well, you certainly built an ark. You built an ark with the blueprint.
Yeah, because it was, you know, it became a multi-dimensional, as you said, the 3D, unexpected. But, It's a fixed multidimensional space within domestic or intimate space, which tells us, if we think of art not as ours, like a John Lennon song, he wrote it, but it's part of us, right? Then it starts to say, well, wait a minute, what if the missing part of the story is this intimate key, is the library, is a way to say, like the fire taught me when it came to my door, you know, if everything's on fire, what do you pay attention to?
Right.
You know, how do you not get caught in, because that fire hissed at me, tell me what you hate and I'll burn down your house. You know, this real...
How did you react to that? I mean, I know it was in the moment, and but with that comment that you just made, how did you react to that knowingly? Because it must have stopped you like time suspended.
I told Carla, like a Zen monk. You could have told me that you could have the guy standing with a match going, he did it. That would have gone, Because I began to understand that what was triggered, and this is why... That truly was, as I write about in my Judgment Archetype, what was known as a baptism of fire, a type of apocalyptic blaze. And what I learned, and it was sequential, but when the fire tornado hit me and literally punched me back into the house, at that moment, I heard, are you staying or leaving? This is the voice of the fire, essentially. And I say, staying. And really, I hear, that's all I needed to know. And somehow the fire tornado that hits the house bounces and moves. So it gets very otherworldly after a while, but it's also very worldly because you're so, in a way, in such a state of heightened trauma, right, that all of the guards fall away. Like, and that's what my big Star Pine said, we're not fuel, we're allies. The garden, the voice of the garden says, everything alive wants to live. You're the part of the garden that is in motion. We have your back. And suddenly I wasn't fighting nature. I wasn't afraid. Everything around me, and I could feel the moisture emanating from the plants. Mm-hmm. And then there was a profound transformative moment, which was about 2 a.m. on that Friday night, where like Dante's Inferno, everything is burning. But I hear, do you feel everyone's prayers for you and Carla and Olindar? And I do, and it's palpable. It's like my dad's death. It's not like, you know, kind of, because as an actor, you don't want to stop the improvisation. Somebody goes, do you feel it? You go, yeah. You don't go, yeah. No. Say, you know, give him a little, it's like a comedian, give him a few laughs. But it was so profound that I felt like I had angels at my back. It had no guarantee that the night would be, you know, we'd make it. But there was this other sense of, I could feel like a breath being put around the house.
I believe that. And I believe your souls together create that. And certainly the space that you've created. So, you know, let's just touch on this for a minute. When this download came to you, when the whisper came in your ear, did you pause? Or did you step into it and say, yes, I will, I know what I need to do? Or was it made clear to you as you stepped into it?
You know, the time where about I'll burn down your house, this fire went on. It was really monstrous. It was a monstrous blaze that didn't go out. So about 3 days into it, everything, winds come back and this dragon reawakens. And I'm out in the, with a fire extinguisher at this point, trying to just put out embers, trying to put out the little dragons before they became big dragons. And that's where it felt like a Stephen King novel. It felt almost like a boa constrictor wrapping around me, and it wanted me to die.
I believe that. I actually felt that too. I really believe what you just said 1,000%, that is an energy that was circling.
It's very ancient. And this is what it, because it said, and this is, and it moved me profoundly. I am that fire. This is a time of apocalypse. It doesn't happen all at once, but that, and it went through the archetypes of temperance, death, the tower, and judgment. Those four, as the four horsemen, said, I am the dragon of fire that will be the dragon of water, and that there is a drought in the human heart. There is a dryness, a brittleness. People are knowing what to hate and forgetting what they love. casting blame on their neighbor while not telling their children why being human matters, of being responsible to that greater love. He was angry. It said people out here build high walls thinking they can ward off these energies. It was like, it was so angry at the disrespect of taking without giving anything back. And this is ancient Chumash land. And the ancestors, and I'm convinced that's why this is a cave painting. It's the old, it's a picture language. Every single ancestor understands pictures. They'd interpret it in their own beautiful way. But they would be able to tell a story. So here we have, what is the most sacred place? Where you live, where you love. What is the most sacred thing to you? Your family. Do you know? And this is where I really found, it told me that, and it said, I am a fire that will find this brittleness. I will burn it. And it, and then COVID hit, which hits the logs, which is a fire.
We have to take a quick break, but on that note, stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Lee J. McCloskey. And we're going to talk about what he's just done in the library and continue on as to why this is so important and why it's important right now today, because it is. It's the perfect timing, and that's always the way it is with you. Thank you so much. We'll be right back.
Having trouble sleeping at night? Needing better digestion? How would you like to optimize your body? Have more peace inside and be stress-free instantly? You can get your own personalized body system analysis by leading medical intuitive and body system health expert, Winifred Adams. Do you know someone who could benefit from a better immune system or a healthier body? Align your health today and make your appointment for your body system analysis with leading medical intuitive and master healer, Winifred Adams. Go to makinglifebrighter.com and request an appointment. Be sure to put Radio Special along with your name to receive a one-time offer of $50 off your comprehensive analysis. Book your one-hour analysis today. Be sure to look for the app on iTunes coming soon and find out more about classes, seminars, and how to sign up for the Quantum Healing Meditations. Get into alignment, body, mind, and soul. Go to makinglifebrighter.com and request your appointment today. Be sure to mention Radio Special along with your name. A brighter, healthier you awaits.
One man is growing old and one man is being told that.
Welcome back to Making Life Brighter with host and leading medical intuitive Winifred Adams on the Voice America Variety Channel, your preferred choice for conscious education and entertainment, featuring experts in their field and visionaries preparing the planet for the golden age and beyond. For more information, visit us at makinglifebrighter.com in the media section. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Making Life Brighter. If you have questions or comments, please email us at radio@makinglifebrighter.com. That's radio@makinglifebrighter.com. And now, back to the show with your host, Winifred Adams.
And we're back. You're listening to Making Life Brighter Radio, and I'm your host, Winifred Adams, and we are back with return guest, visionary, and what I used to call a Renaissance man, but he is the artist of our times, Lee J. McCloskey. Lee, please, we were talking about the library. We were talking about the fire and what it did for you, but let's step into why we don't want to keep repeating the same story in the narrative. Why is it we don't need to learn more right now? What do we need to do?
Everything begins with the realization we are the technology. That if we back engineer what our engineers are now forward engineering about a type of biomolecular organizing system that is both sentient, composed of its own greater energy, and yet has a type of termination point so that it can catalog experience, you have us. And it's very fascinating because when we start to understand where the technology, part of the whole point going back to that, the relationship to COVID, of being forced back, being forced to isolate. You know, my joke is, you know, artists usually are self-isolating anyway.
Isn't that true?
You know, it's like, gotta write, gotta paint. But I think that it's everything here, the narrative here, because it is this relationship to the library and my work with the Phoenix Arise that creates a holographic DNA. And from that, mandalas. Everything is saying that we've come full circle, that we are that, that we know enough. But if we begin to realize that, as with AI, this is also AI, it's called ancestral intelligence. And it's very important because it's not that the other AIs, the, you know, would you say the artificial intelligence, alien intelligence, you know, that all of these intelligences aren't in their own way, different ways of reading or perceiving things, but it is bringing us back home. And I feel like that's been this final key, because if we return to an intimate perception of who we are, we begin to gather back to the center of the wheel. This is one of the images I use with my tarot wheel. I have people stand, because I made the wheel with the images. As we stand on it, we look down and we start to see ourselves at the center of the wheel, like a mini spoke wheel. And then I say, well, okay, now imagine that this wheel begins to turn, and it turns faster and faster until, like a gyroscope, you start to feel a new equilibrium, because you're no longer over-identifying with any one key. You're allowing, like the library, you might not like the characters, you might not like the books, but it's not about your critique that matters. It's about how do you navigate the story. And again, if we begin to understand what this is saying, you know enough. It's not to learn more. This is the overwhelm of information. It's to begin to really perceive that you are the filter. Because here it said, you know, build an ark, but a philosophical seed ark. And I realized, if we look at that not as a metaphor simply for myself, but maybe for the human condition, it might be, and this, interestingly enough, in all of my work, it's this story that we have been taught to begin with mathematics, time, space, distance, I am not that, I am not you. And in that world of reflection, we like Aristotle, we begin to know ourselves, our ego, because we see ourselves separately. But if we think of that as a structure, and this is what the books in the library say, look, what if this cave was empty, meaning going back to the Paleolithic time? And from this womb, as human, we kept going into the world over and over again, experiencing always difficulties, always things that would bring us back into this environment with more questions, because what started out like all building projects, what does it mean to be human, became instantly much more complex, but in so doing, much more interesting. And I'm convinced that now, after all these years in the 21st birthday year, that as we begin to see ourselves as the technology, and that's one of the great things when a person's here, they get to the mirror of unique identity and self-reflection and see themselves. So they're put back into the picture. If you sit in the Eve chair in the story of the apple, she says, you are that. Who's looking at you? You.
Yes.
But I couldn't tell you until you came home.
Yes, you know, and that's so true.
You know, yeah, and the mother says, stop telling stories about who you hate. I love my children. I'm the knowledge of your atoms. There are no evil atoms. If you don't like your stories, tell better stories.
So have you noticed over time now that you've done this in your home, have you witnessed the evolvement of people and their perspective, or does that factor into how you see it?
It has awakened a gardener's sense that one cannot convince the world any more than one can stop the ocean from moving as it does. But we can offer vehicles, ways of seeing that let us navigate. This is one of the reasons why I wrote Tarot Revision. It wasn't that I thought, oh, millions will, but those that need to understand, as I needed to understand, why are we wired the way we are? Why, when somebody says, be yourself, do I always go, well, which one? You know, why can I argue, and why, in a sense, even as an actor, have I played people I both would relate to and people that are my complete opposite? You know, but it's really given me insight through the tarot as an actor. I'd never had to side. You know, of course you don't like the devil. You're not supposed to. But if I, as an artist, as an inquirer, as an archaeologist, say, well, that's real, then I never realize that I'm the instrument, that it's about how do we put it together in a way where we're going back to inviting others to join us. And this is one of the things my theater sense is it's a time of seeking ensemble, not convincing people that aren't interested, but yeah, finding those that are. Because part of the nakedness of the mother here, of the divine feminine here, of my home, of why this is a passionate love of mine, why I stayed during the fire, is I will go down with this ship. My daughters knew it. They were terrified. You know, I mean,
I'm sure
not going to stay to fight the big dragon. Why stick around?
Well, you not only, I won't say it this way, you didn't slay the dragon.
No, I honored it.
You recognize the dragon.
And that's what this energy is about. It's like, get over, you know, that's my joke here is that no matter, you know, when you're working at home, no matter how grand your cosmology is, your wife looks at you blankly and says, take out the garbage. And I thought, that's what consciousness is. You know, it's like, take out the garbage, get over yourself. Stop thinking you've figured out the matrix. You know, it's like, it's that really, because it frees us to say what really matters. And I almost feel like for all the disappointment and all the shouting, I say to people now, whisper. You know, the people that are meant to hear you will. And if you need to shout, they won't hear you. You'll go hoarse and you'll feel that you're alone. But I also feel that the more you love, the more you are alone, meaning that you can't look to amplify what allows a world that is dark oftentimes to still have a place for wonder. That's you. You know, and to me, that's the truth of art. Right?
The discovery, right? I mean, so the discovery in the first question I asked you about when this came as a download, you know, the discovery, it was whispered as a suggestion in your ear, but the discovery was in the creation, in the actual making of it as you were in it, right? So that was the unfoldment, just like consciousness. It's the opening step by step. And
No, because you're right. If you think about even that it was the watcher language, this idea, not idea, this expression of not simply strings, but sentience, and that the genius of who and what we are is that finally this weave emerges that like ourselves, because I've always thought about this, you know, when you're seven and you're suddenly at 14 or 15 taller than your mom, you know, it's like you really know you've changed. You get out of high school. Oh, God, I don't have to do that anymore. You know, you've gone through but then we reach a point where you read a book, you know, it's like you don't really see that you've changed. And I really feel like a lot of the transpersonal element here was at this higher level. People have asked me, you know, when will it be done? And I say, I don't think its point is to ever be done. Do you know that the hieroglyph of the human soul is an ever ongoing question? You know, we're that interesting rather than we're coming to a finite conclusion, because the great optimism I have in this art is that the Phoenix Arise revelation is that each of us are a phoenix. We're not born into time, we're born into creation. We are whole and holy. And the purpose of our journey now from this is this, meaning that can we find a place where we can blossom, meaning transform the energies of contraction into a deeper trust. And that's when you start to say, I am the technology. Almost like a flower saying, and a flower doesn't destroy its own infrastructure to blossom. It simply shifts its sense of where do I begin telling my story from? And this says, how about where you live? How about who you love? You know, stop condemning, because essentially we're standing in a mirror when we do that. And that's what the fire taught me. And stand at a mirror and really shout. Shout at the world how angry you are. And feel that fire coming out of you and twisting back and immolating. Because whether we know it or not, we're in a holographic mental martial art teaching module, essentially.
Indeed, we are. That flower kind of represents the idea of reaching out to the light, right? So if you're not finding the light in this direction, you're leaning to the light in that direction.
Well, it's also turn around, right? Because if you're at the mirror here, it's like you've reached the end of self-reflection. Why you feel claustrophobic? It's like at a mirror. I see myself, but I can't get anywhere, right? Because I don't know it's a mirror. I finally see myself, but it's saying, like, why do I feel so claustrophobic? It says, well, push back, right? And here, what I love, the immersive element, is a person literally turns around. And suddenly the person that you saw in reflection is next to you. You think, oh, my God, I don't need to hold myself in reflection. How am I not you? I can finally embrace, and that's, I'm convinced, the jazz element here. Like if you play the saxophone and I play the trumpet and she plays the guitar, my God, let's riff. Let's stop having the saxophonist, you know, correct the guitarist. That's what the archetypes get at, you know?
The synergy and the turning in the room, I have to say, if you haven't experienced this, you have to experience it, because it is an experience, and that's why it's called the Living Library. Yeah. So, we'll take a quick break again and we'll come back and we're going to talk more about the depth of the Living Library and where we're headed as we go further into this next step of, you know, stepping off the diving board, because last we were left with Sophia and moving into the womb and the unknown and coming back out in a new story. But we've evolved and turned a corner since then. So perhaps we're on a different trajectory in the cosmos. We're going to talk to Lee about that as we come back through, because in a way, everything in this library is coming back through some form or another of yourself and the womb. And this is stunning. So we'll be right back with more Lee J. McCloskey right here.
Having trouble sleeping at night? Needing better digestion? How would you like to optimize your body? Have more peace inside and be stress-free instantly? You can get your own personalized body system analysis by leading medical intuitive and body system health expert, Winifred Adams. Do you know someone who could benefit from a better immune system or a healthier body? Align your health today and make your appointment for your body system analysis with leading medical intuitive and master healer, Winifred Adams. Go to makinglifebrighter.com and request an appointment. Be sure to put Radio Special along with your name to receive a one-time offer of $50 off your comprehensive analysis. Book your one-hour analysis today. Be sure to look for the app on iTunes coming soon and find out more about classes, seminars, and how to sign up for the Quantum Healing Meditations. Get into alignment, body, mind, and soul. Go to makinglifebrighter.com and request your appointment today. Be sure to mention Radio Special along with your name. A brighter, healthier you awaits.
One man is growing old and one man is being told.
You are listening to Making Life Brighter, a presentation by the Quantum Galaxy Network for the Variety Channel on Voice America, featuring visionaries, thought leaders, and consciousness experts leading the way as we prepare the planet for the golden age and beyond. Right here on Making Life Brighter Radio with your host, leading medical intuitive Winifred Adams. Be sure to download the app. For more information, go to makinglifebrighter.com under media. Now, back to the show with your host, Winifred Adams.
And we're back. Yes, you'll be able to get that app in the next month or so. And you're listening to Making Life Brighter, and we have famous actor, visionary, and artist, Lee J. McCloskey, back here on Making Life Brighter. Thank you, Lee, for being with us again. I can't tell you what a gift it is to have you with us. And we were talking about his living library there in Malibu, California. And if you have not experienced the library, you need to go experience the library, because it's a 3D painted library and there is nothing in the room that's not painted. So without ruining it for you, we will get into the depth of why this is so valuable and necessary. It's living art. So Lee, as many times I've been there, we've talked about all of it. And yet, you know, there's always something more to learn and there's always something more to contemplate and discover. As you've stepped through all the teachings, all the esoteric teachings, and brought them together through a pinhole in time in your living space, Sophia is one of the pieces that I found very transformative and yet very soft. The rest is like a stark story of, whoa, wake up. Mm-hmm. And what about this? And then you come into Sophia and you just feel like I'm home again. Yeah. Mother, mm-hmm. I have contemplated this literally for years. So I'd like you to comment on the value of Sophia and the womb.
What is very important to express is I am not illustrating anything that it is much more like a grand piece of music, a type of emanatory riff that as it emerges, it teaches me. So I wasn't illustrating nor expecting Sophia as the hieroglyph of the human soul began to pour out. It began with Kuan Yin. It moved into telling this very deep origin story, which is fascinating. But it was also then on the cabinet doors that the great mother Sophia begins to emerge, and she's rising up out of the depths. And it transformed me, because we've always heard, I think, therefore I am. But her story is, I love, therefore I am. The story of the mother, I love, therefore I am. And I found working as she was emerging that this love is so enormous that it's dissolving. And I started to realize, because it put me into almost a deeply unconscious state, and I started to realize, oh, well, what is this story of Philosophia, the journey of wisdom? Why did the mother give birth to each of us? And what is this relationship of I love, therefore I am, and I think, therefore I am? And in the hieroglyph of the human soul, another unexpected emergence was this Christos, so this Christ, this father, this potter on the floor. And that in relationship to the Christ Sophia, it became the journey of each of us, born of the mother and father, meaning that we're born of both thought and love. And the blind eye of the father on the floor, when we look up, we see ourselves in reflection in the mirror of unique identity and self-reflection. And it's saying that, you see, when you look in the mirror, you know you are you and not the person next to you. You're not your, you are you. Now, how do you know this? It's because you think, therefore, you have learned to separate. Well, in this journey here, this immersive journey, when we turn the corner back to Sophia, the mother, we see the chalice, we see the grail, which is over the spines of all the books of all the religions, because the mother says, I love all of my children. And her narrative becomes that as we begin to return home and we begin to see through the eyes of the mother, she says, I have given birth to all of these stories. I have given birth to you. You are composed of all of these stories as well. Do not tell me what books in the library to burn or what children of mine don't deserve dignity. I need you to know. And then what's interesting, we're on our knees when we're with Sophia. We're in a physical domestic cabinet looking at her beautiful face. And she's saying, now that you're on my knees, now that you're intimate, look at my belly. My belly is the face of the child. And what of human innocence is this incapacity to actually remember who and what we are? And so we do turn a corner into thought and self-reflection, and maybe that's not just us. Maybe we're the outcome of thousands of years of this journey into unique identity. But now as Sophia emerged, and it's so important because she is the living waters of which everything in the hieroglyph of the human soul is woven. She is mater, mater, mother. I'm the knowledge of your atoms. What's beautiful about the art here is I tell people, you must understand that when one paints, the breath is captured. So we're inside of her here. And think of a library. That's why I feel almost like the librarian. Listen, I like some of the authors like you do and don't like, but it's not a matter of my critique. You know, it's a matter of really, how do we live in a way that allows the greater beauty of life as the first principle, not math. So connection, not separation. That's what the chalice over the spines of the books of religion taught me. And what's fascinating in the infant, that is, there is twins always, that one is reaching out toward the world shared with others. And from this comes all these religious questions of what does it mean to be human? And that the other twin is in shadow. And this is over alchemy and Jung and mantra. It's all about that which we cannot know out there. But we have this twin relationship. And what's beautiful about the art, one doesn't need to know these things, because I'm convinced that once the picture's there, some part of us goes, yeah, that makes sense. And that's why when you pull out the droplet in the mind of the infant, this willingness to be born, it's the encyclopedia of religion. And that transformed me. I mean, think about like being the librarian, like I'll play the role of librarian. I wanted to show you who you are. You are the encyclopedia of religion, meaning that you gave dignity to the question of what does it mean to be human so deeply that you incarnated into all of these different questions. Because if you didn't, you would be standing on the outside in judgment. But you willingly forgot in order to, from the inside, experience both the dark and the light so that what came has been earned. And I'm convinced that's our DNA, our genetic code. If we could honor that as sacred, we'd go, wow. So you mean I'm imprinted? And that's what the hieroglyph gets at, right? It says you're imprinted with this. It doesn't obscure the books. A couch is still a couch here, but it's also a painting. What if you are an art form? And that's what I learned with my dad's death.
You I can imagine. It's a feeling. And when you sit on that couch, when you experience it and actually turn around the room, like you were saying earlier, that turn is monumental, because the fundamental experience is shift.
Yeah.
The softening and the change that happens, because the opening is almost mandatory within this space, the frequency of the space, yeah, from your focus and your insight as it came through the painting, which I really want to focus on because it's so important. But you have a new space, the mirror chamber. Yeah. Let's talk about that. Well, tell us about why this has come along and why it's so important now.
What I really love was that all of this, everything, Sophia, all of it comes from asking questions. Because I have discussion groups here for 41 years now, twice a week, looking at these things. And there's a point where my dad would say, when you can't talk about something, paint it. And so what's unfolded is not an invention, meaning Lilith has appeared. These other characters, these other beings have found their way into this greater matrix. And what's interesting was that the mirrored chamber is on the outside, which is a room that was built over the balcony to protect mothership, Revelations in Pink, a painting of mine that started once again as a folly. It was on a wall that was falling off. I didn't care. So, you know, in a way, that's where your greatest inspiration happens. And you think, oh, my God, I didn't prepare the materials right. But in a way, it also became a metaphor of not taking something too seriously. And even its ultimate story, which became Revelations in Pink, it was saying, it's not enlightenment, it's enlighten up, breathe. And so this, because I was photographing in the early 2000s for about 3 years on different cameras, orbs, light anomalies in the studio, but they were not random, they were in geometrical relationships with what I had painted. And I became very fascinated with the question of what are orbs, and I didn't want to have what is usually sloughed off as insight, which is debating, oh, that's not what it is. And I thought that I need to ask this on a different level. You know, I'm just going to start with asking about, well, what are the orbs? And I started with that. And what's fascinating with how mothership, because this will lead into the mirrors, that it became about the orbs. But she said, as she emerged, she says that I'm, again, once again, the knowledge of your atoms. I'm mater, mater, mother, that I love all of my children. And I, as the knowledge of your atoms, remind you that you're composed of all of these qualities. Because her first question to me was, when did your atoms become so generous to stick together to create one of you? When you begin to grok that level of generosity, she says, you'll begin to know who you truly are. Think of the generosity of all of these different worlds. Well, again, starting as a lark, I began with mirrors in here, and it became a type of infinity chamber around the torso of the goddess and then Kuan Yin. And that fascinated me. So I went out around mothership, and again, thinking it a lark, 11 months later, as I'm going crazy, I'm doing things and I'm dreaming about it, and it's wearing me out. But it becomes again a type of philosophical quest, because if you think of strings and orbs, the watchers, the strings, the sentient weave that holds the string together. But the orbs become what the strings are made of, meaning each a unique universe and miniature. And that the great story that it starts to tell now with the mirrors and with the 3D glasses is that the 3D glasses here, which again was unexpected, as you know, it was, if you look at me one way, put the glasses on, look at me again. And suddenly things become multidimensional. But you're not swept into it. You're able to hold this dual perspective, looking at something in more than one way, which is a very interesting pun here, because a chair is a chair, a book is a book, but it's also a painting. So if you asked, well, is it a book or a painting, you'd have to say, well, yes. And that's, to me, where you start to allow form, like the couch or the chair, to also be part of a story. You know, it's not just, and part of the narrative of the mirrors then becomes that she teaches, as the glasses do, that we are learning the lesson that we are a hologram, meaning that we projected ourselves into all these infinite reflections, all these infinite atoms, all these infinite worlds, all these stories. but that as we draw back to ourselves, and this is the interesting thing about when we think of the masculine and feminine as energy in Jung, that the masculine in us, the ego, has been pushing out, meaning really like circumambulating the world, going out into the universe, because this allows us to extend. But the other question, I think this is COVID, I think it's the fires, I think it's everything that forced us to do this, to find, if I can't do this, then what can I do with this? And for many, it was maddening and this and that. But at the other hand, you know, I don't think we'd come here for comfort. Do you know, in other words, I think we've come here with the insistence that you will be transformed by the things that you confront, but you can either navigate them.
Yes. We have to take a quick break and we'll be right back to continue this because this is so important. The new mirror chamber is a new experience you can have there. And I love what you're saying right now. We'll be right back.
Having trouble sleeping at night? Needing better digestion? How would you like to optimize your body? Have more peace inside and be stress-free instantly? You can get your own personalized body system analysis by leading medical intuitive and body system health expert, Winifred Adams. Do you know someone who could benefit from a better immune system or a healthier body? Align your health today and make your appointment for your body system analysis with leading medical intuitive and master healer, Winifred Adams. Go to makinglifebrighter.com and request an appointment. Be sure to put Radio Special along with your name to receive a one-time offer of $50 off your comprehensive analysis. Book your one-hour analysis today. Be sure to look for the app on iTunes coming soon and find out more about classes, seminars, and how to sign up for the quantum healing meditations. Get into alignment, body, mind, and soul. Go to makinglifebrighter.com and request your appointment today. Be sure to mention Radio Special along with your name. A brighter, healthier you awaits. Welcome back. For more information, please visit us at makinglifebrighter.com. If you'd like more information on intuitive coaching, coursework, or to book an appointment with medical intuitive Winifred Adams, please email us at radio@makinglifebrighter.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook and download the app. Go to makinglifebrighter.com for more information. And now, back to the show with your host, Winifred Adams.
And we're back with Lee J. McCloskey here today, and he is the artist behind the Living Library in Malibu, which is the hieroglyph for the human soul. And you can find him at Lee?
LeeMcCloskey.com. And if you write there, the email will come to me. And you can also contact Carla McCloskey at AOL.com. And we can begin to, you know, just connect and make that connection. But my website will, you know, take you into a lot of different
all of your books and the tarot and the artwork, which you must see. So Lee J. McCloskey.
Yeah. And just Google my name with art. But yeah, it's LeeMcCloskey.com. And then Facebook as well. Also, I have Olendar Foundation for Emerging Renaissance or OFFER on Facebook. But really, if you just Google, I think you'll
we have the play going on today.
Now a plane is passing by. I don't think it's going to strafe us, but it is awfully close.
It makes it very authentic and real.
I see Cary Grant turning with the crop duster going.
Well, Lee, you can find him basically online under Lee McCloskey and LeeMcCloskey.com. Yeah. So his artwork is so stunning. If you haven't seen it, you must see it. If you haven't experienced it, you need to go. So from wherever you are in the world, make a trip. Go to Malibu, you have to experience one of these, and you must hear him speak about it in person as he explains it. Your consciousness will expand. It will change, and it'll change by the frequency of this room that is literally an art piece that is like its own private Guggenheim. It's amazing. It's a living, breathing consciousness experience. Mm. So, Lee, as you were talking about in the last segment, you were discussing how the mirror chamber, you know, takes COVID was taking us and putting us in. And now we have the opportunity to shift that. So please Continue.
Well, what is profound is that 10 years or 15 years into the work on the hieroglyph of the human soul, I think, what is the acronym? And it turns out it's Thoth. Now, Thoth Hermes, and this goes back into ancient tradition, takes us back to this maxim of as above, so below. And what is profound here is that everything in the deeper theater of the psyche that has reemerged into the domestic context here and a community that has gathered here is that in a place where we have honored the sense that this might not matter to you, but it matters to me. That's enough. Let us begin here. There has been this journeying that finally we begin to see a profound relationship. And I'm convinced this is why I ended up creating Tarot Revisioned over 17 years was really, and that is what lines the downstairs studio, which are the original drawings. But again, it's in a room I designed for my father. So it's the son's relationship to the father. Do you know how, what's the difference of things? And they're in black and white. So you have this sense of a piano, meaning an instrument below. But again, remember that my home begins to reveal that maybe the metaphor here is that we've returned home, you know, a bit like Dorothy and E.T. You know, why, what is it about, you know, Dorothy didn't want to stay in Oz. She wanted to get to those she loved. She just wanted to know there was more than just the stultifying effect of the black and white of things. You know, but once somebody reveals, well, wait a minute, that's a piano. That's what the archetype's downstairs saying. Make it better theater. You don't have to convince the neighbor, but at least where you live, say, let me honor these things. And then as we ascend to the living library above, which is in that relationship, like the piano to music, suddenly we go from black and white to color, or Oz, multidimensionality. What's in between is the plane or the domestic plane. And I am convinced now that what started in ancient Egypt with the upright obelisk fell over. We were journeying into time across the ages to finally come back on the human scale, having translated what was once star knowledge through the human condition, so that on the linoleum, in the ordinary, we're not trying to make things gold and think our riches is to impress others, but to see in our children's eyes, to see in those we love, that's the richness. And to see in our human story in the library, my God, we inherit not those that overcame, but those that in spite of odds that were insurmountable, decided, let me at least add. And I feel like that's our true heroism. I really feel when people visit here, almost like my talking point is, you have no idea how heroic your willingness to be born and to never know has been. And now to know yourself, you must come home. You must stop looking at the neighbor and turn back to those you cherish. Because whether it's a comet, whether it's the icebergs, whether it's everything is climactic. But if we think of a really good movie, and this is what I get, this is why I'm an optimist. It says, remember, it's better written than you think. And that's what I want us to, in other words, that the phoenix arise, the art doesn't die, it blossoms. But it blossoms now from where we live, meaning that let me tell a story that helps heal my children. Let me not imbue them with the fear. Let me turn off the... That's why I wrote Notes on the Emerging Renaissance many years ago. You know, in a sense, we have to say, let the Renaissance begin with me. Meaning this will be our motto. Not let it begin and then I'll join. But let at least where I live, this be the altar to what I love. And that's why I reclaimed the creative spirit, not as something to prove any more than I'd prove the love of my wife to someone. It's what's enriched the very journey itself. And at the end of the days, I really feel like, this is enough. I like this mystery.
Do you ever go and just sit in your own work?
Yeah. Yeah. And I feel very reassured because this is the most ancient technology. It's paint and storytelling. It is pictures, but it includes everyone that joins. When someone comes here, they are part of it and they're in a home. So they're being trusted. They're saying, you are worth this. And if the mother, if the ancestors could give us anything, it says, we know you're weary. We know you're exhausted. We know you're angry and you're full of grief. So are your ancestors. So maybe it's not about getting further. And that's why the fire, when it hit, I realized the fire, the ocean is right out there. There's no further to go. The anger has spread across country. So maybe let us attend to where we live in love and we'll create an artistry of consciousness, become artists of consciousness, not judges of others. You know, and I think there's a lot of nasty of someone I know, judge not lest you be judged.
And there we have it. Thank you so much for being back with us today, Lee. And if you'd like to hear more, you can go to Making Life Brighter on YouTube and you can join Patreon. And we're going to have an extra supplement for you there as well. Lee, thank you. I just can't say it enough. Thank you. And go jolly, everybody. This is Absolutely. Something you must experience. LeeMcCloskey.com and the Hieroglyph of the Human Soul. So thank you for being with us. All right, everybody. We'll see you next time right here on Making Life Brighter.
Thank you for listening to Making Life Brighter with Winifred Adams. Be sure to join us every Thursday at 10 a.m. on the Variety Channel on Voice America for quantum healing information, education, and inspiration with thought leaders and experts preparing us and the planet for the golden age and beyond. Go jolly!